take something in my heart, amen, you know, tonight. Amen. How often do you see the young guns preach tonight services? The Lord laid out my heart. We've got a couple of young guns here this week. One of them is touched right back there in that back row. Amen to that? The Lord spoke to his heart. Tonight, amen. Brother Caleb, you want to do something to preach first, okay?
Amen.
This Caleb Wilson, say, you preaching him because he's trying to marry your granddaughter? No, actually, I'm preaching to see if he can breathe.
Sound like fire, man. Yeah.
If I don't break it first, brother.
We jury rig this stuff together.
All right. I'm shaking, so.
That's good. All right. Don't worry. We're just all here to criticize you and speak bad about you when it's over, so don't you worry about it for 5 seconds. Okay.
Well, amen. Yeah. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Daniel. Daniel chapter number 1. And we'll start at Daniel chapter number 1. I just want to thank the Lord. I'm about to bust, Brother Clift. I am about to explode. I'm just on the mountain. I just want to be honest with you. We go through storms enough in our lives. And right now, for the past month, I've been on the mountaintop, and I'm having fun. Amen. I'm just thankful. God's blessed. It's been a pretty rough year. It seems like every time I get excited about something, God tells me no and then leads me into a different direction. But I'm real excited right now. And I just thank God that He had mercy on me, that He allowed me to come to New York, to the little place smaller than Roanoke, Alabama, just to preach to a bunch of nobodies like me. And I just thank God, hallelujah, that I'm saved and I'm in a crowd full of like-minded people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just thank God. I just want to thank God. I want to give you my testimony real quick. I just thank God for saving me. I was a 6-year-old boy on my way to hell. Some people say, well, 6-year-olds can't get saved. Well, then take that up with God, because God saved me when I was 6 years old. June the 10th, 2001, I remember I was playing underneath the seat in children's church with my Legos, and nobody was interested in me. And no, I don't remember what the preacher said. Everybody wanted me gone from the church. I was just a little brat, the runt of the mill. And I just thank God that He came by my way, pointed His finger at my heart and said, Caleb Wilson, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God pointed me out and said He wanted me. And God pointed me out and said He wanted me. He said He wanted to use me. He said He didn't want me to die and go to hell. And I remember that day, I was just 6 years old. I don't remember the message. I don't remember anything that was going on. I didn't care what was going on. I just remember one minute I was worried about some toys in the floor. And the next minute, God spoke to my heart and said, you need to get saved. At the church, they gave altar call as they do every Sunday in children's church. And the preacher, he asked, is anybody in here lost? Anybody in here never been saved? And I raised my hand. And I remember he took me, showed me in the Bible how to be saved. And I remember, amen, I called on God to save me from my sins. I had committed a lot of sins. I've done a lot more wrong after I got saved than before I got saved. But I just thank God that I would have died if it wasn't for Him. I'd have died and went to a hell's hell. I'd have been forever separated from Him. But He gave me joy. He gave me peace. And He gave me everlasting life. June the 10th, 2001.
Amen.
I just thank God for salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just thank Him. Daniel chapter 1. Yeah, man, I could preach my testimony to you for an hour and 10 minutes, bro. But I'm just going to preach the message to you for an hour and 9 minutes. How about that? Amen. Yeah, Daniel chapter 1. Bible says in verse number 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nursing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel, listen here, young people, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Dear God, I thank you so much for calling me to preach. God, I thank you so much for just deciding to use a nobody like Caleb Wilson, taking somebody that didn't deserve anything and just turning them into something for you. Dear God, I thank you so much for saving me. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies, getting up here. And I pray, God, that you'd make a difference in these young people's lives and in these preachers' lives and in the saints of God's lives today. Please, God, just help us today. Change our lives today. Move in a mighty way today, God. We'll give you all the honor and glory, Lord. I pray, Lord, no one in this room would see 1 ounce of Caleb Wilson, Lord. I pray they'd see every bit of you, dear God. Please, Lord, put yourself in the forefront, Lord. Walk the pews with us. Let all eyes be on you, dear God. Let all the attention be focused on you, dear Father, I pray. Have mercy on us, Lord. Give us unction from heaven, Lord. We'll give you all the honor and glory. Amen. 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 I just want to preach just for a little bit. We all think of Daniel. By the way, if you can't understand me, just get Brother Zach back there to interpret after church. Amen. If you can't understand what I'm saying, y'all should have seen me in Papua New Guinea. I spent 2 months in Papua New Guinea back in October to December, and it was a mess. Anyway, I had to have an interpreter for the Yankees that were over there, and then they had an interpreting pigeon. Amen. It was all kind of backwards. What we think of Daniel, we think of, as soon as you turn to the book of Daniel, you think, well, he's fixing to preach to a bunch of young people, and I am. I mean, we need to preach to the young people, and I, just something that's been heavy on my heart. We preach against a lot of sin, and please don't cut me off, don't get me wrong, but we preach against a lot of sin in the world, and it needs to be preached on. Homosexuality is running rampant, and I never thought it'd get to an all-time high that it's gotten to, and it's only getting worse. And you see these transgender just sodomites and wicked people in the world, and you got communism that you need to preach against, and you got standards that you need to preach against, and you got all these things. You go to a youth meeting. Brother Cliff, it seems like 78% of the message is why homosexuals aren't right with God or aren't saved or why they're wicked. And instead, we've put a lot of focus on that, and there needs to be focus on that. Children need to know. They need to grow up understanding that that is wrong. That is not right in the eyes of God. But we put all the attention on that. And we've taken attention away from a daily walk with Christ. What it means to be close to God in spite of all the sin going around you. Sin has been sin since day one.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I think about? When I think about America today, I think of a very, very mild case of what it was like in Peter and Paul's day. Homosexuality was running rampant. It was a part of Roman culture, sure, to be a homosexual. Sure. That was a part of Roman. You were frowned upon if you did not have that kind of relationship with somebody. So don't tell me America's the first people to ever get it, and God is not able to turn it all around, because He is, because He's done it hundreds and thousands of times over and over and over again in the Bible. Amen. Israel would sin. They would fall away from God. They would sacrifice their children to Baal. And then God would raise up a prophet and bring them back into repentance and into the glory of God. God can do it again.
Sure. That's right.
I just want to preach just for a little bit. I know I'm rambling. I just want to preach for a little bit that The world wants you, but God owns you. Amen. The world wants you, but God owns you. You see, you are not your own. You do not own your life. You do not run your life. You do not call the shots. Amen. You do not decide what is supposed to go on in your life. You do not choose your own path. You are not supposed to have the dictatorship over your own life. God owns you. Amen. God bought you with His blood. Spilled it, not any amount of money, not any amount of fame or fortune. He paid for it with every drop of blood in His body. Bought you with His blood. You are His. He owns you. And the world is trying to steal you away.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Number one, I'll get on into it. The world wants your purity. That's something we don't preach about. Preach a lot about the atmosphere that's going on around us. But we say nothing when preacher starts riding church along with his girlfriend. Amen. When young people start holding hands in the back of the church, we don't say anything about that. And I know I'm stepping on a lot of toes, and I'm not known as a hard preacher. You go to Roanoke and they say, well, he's one of the easiest preachers. This is just dear to my heart. This is something this is something I want to get through to people because it changed my life. Caleb Wilson is here today because a Sunday school teacher decided to teach on purity in the Sunday school room.
That's good.
The world wants your purity.
Yeah. Right one.
They tried King Nebuchadnezzar, wicked king, awful, awful wicked king. Tried to defile these children of Israel, these children of Judah. He sought them out. He wanted them. He said, Ashpenaz, go down into Judah. Go get me the best and the best of the young people. Amen. Go get me the ones that know the tongue of the Chaldeans, skillful in all wisdom, without any blemish. Go get me the cream of the crop, the smartest, the most talented, the ones that have the most going for them, the most God-fearing children in the land. The world wants you. God wants you. He wanted to defile them. And it started out with something really small. He did not start off making them all bow down at the idol. Amen. He didn't start off making them face the fire and going through torments. He did not start off that way. He gave them a little piece of meat and a little cup of drink.
That's right.
The world ain't going to sit here and throw adultery in your face at 15 years old. The world is not going to throw drunkenness in your face at 15 years old. Amen. Preachers, the devil is not just going to, you're not just going to wake up one day and fall into adultery. It's a slow, slow process. And it is a slow downward slope that if you do not take care of the little things and be faithful in the very smallest of instances, it's going to lead to your utter downfall. Amen. Taking care of boundaries now. I preach about my testimony a lot because I don't know anybody, and the only stories I got is just what God's brought me through. And so I'm sorry if it seems like I'm boasting in myself. I'm boasting in God taking a piece of trash and doing something with Him. Amen. I was 14 years old. I was a bad kid like any other bad kid. I wasn't a bus kid. Mama's had me when she was 18. She's as far away from God as could be. We moved to Roanoke. I was 3 years old. I remember I was 5 years old. And a preacher by the name of Brother Shannon Mapp. Mama was just a young 20-year-old. 20-something-year-old. And she's in Winn-Dixie parking lot. Crowd about 30 folks drinking and partying about 11 o'clock at night. For some reason, that's where they choose to hang out in Roanoke. I don't know. Y'all don't judge us. And that preacher, just a young preacher, had a wife, a couple kids. Could have went home from work. He owned a logging business. Could have went home from work and said, you know what, Lord, I'm tired. I just want to go home and see my wife and my kids. It's been a long day at work. And I just want to get home, read a little bit, have a little fellowship with you, and go to bed. But he decided to go to that street corner and preach the gospel to that crowd of 30 people. He said, no way in this world I'd give my only son for any of you drunks, but I know one who did. And everybody began to laugh and to cry. And Mama, the worst one out of all of them, she was the center of attention when it came to fulfilling the lust of the flesh. She started crying because she knew she tried everything else and nothing else worked. She tried running around with people, and she tried going down to the store, and she tried going down to the party and being the center of attention, and it never brought her peace. And she said, I'll try Jesus. Hallelujah. Been in church ever since.
Amen.
I thank God for a mama that decided. A lot of times I feel like Samson, where the only reason I'm still in this thing is because my mama prayed for me.
Amen.
A lot of times I feel like Samson. I mess everything up. I mess up left and right, and the Lord still blesses all because my mama remained faithful. I remember I was 14 years old. I didn't care about the things of the Lord. I was saved. Went to church. Went faithfully. Didn't get into a whole lot of trouble at school. Just your regular kid. I didn't care about the things of the Lord. My thoughts were impure. My thoughts were vile. My intentions were corrupt. And everything I did was for me. And was for selfishness. And I did not care about the things of the Lord. 14 years old. 2 weeks before I started high school. Mama raised me up, and she told me never to kiss a girl. She told me never to drink, never to dope, never to do any of that stuff. And the only reason I did it was because Mama told me to. And I got to 14 years old 2 weeks before I started high school. Been in public school all my life. 2 weeks before I started high school, our youth pastor started preaching on this right here. Started talking about purity. You see, in our eyes, when we think of purity, and when we preach on purity, the only thing we mention is girls, save yourself for your husband in the big area. We don't say anything to the guys.
That's right.
Ain't that so?
And the only examples we have are people in the Bible. The only preaching we get is from 50-year-old men that say, I did this, do not do this. And we have no examples to actually see with our physical eyes and see, man, God bless them.
Yeah.
I was 14 years old, 2 weeks before I started high school. And God came to me as He was preaching. As He was preaching 1 Corinthians 7:1, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. I was fixing to go into ninth grade. I had all these ambitions. Man, I'm going to be this person. I'm going to have this amount of girlfriends. I'm going to have all these things. I'm going to be this popular. I'm going to make this of myself. And I'm going to be the center of attention. I'm going to do all these things. Because I'm a big shot and I'm in high school now. And Mama ain't going to find out. I remember 2 weeks before I started, God broke my heart. And I don't know where it came from. I just know all of a sudden the lights clicked on. And God said, you need to be committed to me because I want to do something with you.
Amen.
And I took the preacher's word, and I didn't like it at first. But I took the preacher's word because I did not want him to be disappointed in me. And for a while that was the only thing I went off of. But I took the preacher's word. As he was saying, instead of not just giving your wife your virginity, how about giving her your first kiss? I didn't feel too good. Brother Cliff, you ought to be up here. How about never have tasted an ounce of alcohol in your life? How about never have tasted one ounce of tobacco or put one cigarette in your mouth? How about all that aspects of purity?
Yeah. Good.
Yes, sir.
Man. Keeping yourself pure. Not getting as close to the edge as you can possibly be. At least I didn't go over the edge. Staying as far back away from the edge as possible and saying, God, I'm not going any farther than this. God, I give you every ounce of me.
Amen.
Amen. Whether you believe it's a sin or not, I do. The Bible clearly states, amen. But whether you've been convinced by the Word of God that it's a sin or not, think about this. How much more special is that marriage going to be when she knows she's got every ounce of you? How much more special is that marriage going to be that wedding day when you're instead of thinking about all the things you've done wrong and all the things that you're going to have to confess to her tomorrow, instead of thinking about all that, you have a clean mind and a clean slate. You can honestly say, baby, you're my first kiss.
Yeah.
God broke my heart over that. I'm not. If it was up to me, I'd have messed up and I'd have been the worst one out of all of them. But for some reason I cannot explain, God came to me and showed me this.
Amen.
Thank God.
He told me to commit to being this way.
Amen.
And I decided in my heart that Caleb Wilson is going to be 20 years old. I just came up with a number out of nowhere and I said, I'm going to be a 20-year-old. And I'm going to stand up and say that I've never kissed a girl. And I've committed to not holding hands with girls anymore. And I'm going to be able to stand and say on the other side that I made it through any high school, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. And I came out on the other side pure as I went in.
Amen.
That ain't an ounce of Caleb Wilson. Like I said, I wanted wrong. God wouldn't let me.
Good.
I don't know why. But I sure am thankful now. I'm 21 years old and I've never kissed a girl, Brother Dunning. And I know the looks I'm getting right now. That's a God's honest truth. You can take that. Never put a beer to my mouth. Never put a cigarette to my mouth. That is all God, and I thank Him for it. And the only reason I tell you any of this is to show you that you can do this. Amen. Possible. This is not just for preaching, just to fill the time in. This is possible that you can come out on the other side, pure and holy, and be something for the Lord, and not have the scars.
Amen.
Don't blame it on public school. I was in the worst public school in the county. All my acquaintances went out and partied and drank, and all my family hated my guts because I was a preacher. Don't blame it on public school. Don't blame it on your family. My daddy didn't want anything to do with y'all. He was saved. He wasn't on fire. He wasn't right. Divorced my mama 2 years ago. Don't blame it on your family. You can do this if you decide to do this. Amen. Daniel gave God his purity. He didn't give up in the little things. My youth pastor always used to tell me, Caleb, it's too late to start begging God for mercy when you're already in the back seat.
Yeah.
It's too late to start begging God for mercy because it is near to impossible to resist.
Yes.
Instead, why don't you just resist at years back when and resist the urge to hold her hand? And cut it off right there, because that's a lot easier to resist than when you're already there.
Right.
Amen. And I don't want to get too graphic. I don't want to put any thoughts in your mind. I'm just preaching to you what the Lord's laid on my heart and what I believe that we need more than anything in this day and age is the practice of purity.
Amen.
I can have every standard in the book, Brother Reese. I can have my white shirt and my red tie on and every T crossed and every I dotted. If my mind isn't pure, if I'm not close to God, it doesn't mean anything. It's all a show. It's all empty. And I go home with the same guilt and the same lack of rest that I did years ago.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The world wants your purity. It is after your purity. Sometimes you're going to be thrown into situations that you did not intend to be, that you did not prepare to be in. Amen? That you had no control whether you were put in it or not. I'll give you an example. I was walking to school one day, and this girl, she was a preacher's daughter. And she claimed to be a friend of mine, and she dressed very, very badly, but she was a preacher's daughter, and she sang all the church songs, sang all the choir songs, and she was a pretty good old gal. I was walking to school one morning, and she came up, and she put her hand in my hand to try and walk to school with me. And instantly, I let go out of just reaction. Sometimes, she's a very attractive girl. At any time, I had it. Right there. And that's a very small example. It's a very small thing. And call it cheesy if you want to. This is my preaching, amen. But I let go. Nobody would have known. She just ran up behind me and grabbed my hand. But I prepared the boundaries a long time before that to where I didn't even think about it. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter, O King. I didn't even have to think about it immediately. Yeah. My first reaction was let go. Because I knew what the end result would be. Not today, not tomorrow, but a year and a half down the road. When those pure, impure thoughts, when sin is finished, I knew it would bring destruction on my life. Cutting it off in the little things. It was just a little piece of meat. Just a little cup of wine. He didn't make them bow. He didn't make him worship him. He just said, look, this is good for food. Just take a little bit of it. It's fine. That's what the devil wants from you.
Yes, sir.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Start hanging out with that wrong crowd at school. It's all right to sit next to him at lunch. It's fine. Go ahead and sit next to him at lunch. That ain't going to hurt nothing. You're still going to church. You're still faithful.
Yeah.
Go ahead and sit next to him. It's fine. Then they start cussing. And your preacher stands up and says, when they start cussing at the lunch table, tell them to shut up. Mm-hmm. And you let one slide. Ah, they didn't really mean that. That's just how they were raised. And then you let another one slide, and before long, you're inputting on the conversation. You're saying what they're saying. Before long, it's, if you don't do this, you're not cool.
Yeah.
And before long, you're trapped, and you're drunk, and you've fathered 16 kids out of wedlock, and you are as far away from God as you could possibly
be. Yeah.
Amen. God, there's forgiveness. Don't get me wrong. If you have already messed up, please don't get me wrong and think I am bashing you over the head. God is against hanging your sin in front of your face. God hates that. God abhors dangling your sin over your head and saying, well, you just have anything for me anymore. If you're still breathing in and out, God can use you, and God desires to use you. God desires fellowship with you. Those scars don't go away.
Right.
Those images don't go away.
Right.
Those tendencies don't go away.
Yes.
That taste, it don't go away. And you're just making life harder on yourself. Amen. My mama quit drinking orange juice about 2 years ago. She drank orange juice like anybody else. I love orange juice. But she quit drinking it about 2 years ago because she woke up one morning and all of a sudden it tasted like that Budweiser. And she said, I got to put it down because I don't want to be reminded of that anymore. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good.
Keeping your purity. The world desires your purity more than anything. Amen. Think about who these children were. He took children in whom was no blemish. They didn't have a spot on them. He didn't pick the so-called, we call them in the South, bus kids, when most of my bus kids are a lot better than the preacher's kids. Can I say amen? But for some reason, the stigma is on bus kids that they're worse than the church's kids. They're all kids to me. But it wasn't the kid that he just got saved and his mom and daddy aren't in church and he's struggling with this, struggling with that. It wasn't him. It wasn't a kid struggling with pornography. It wasn't a kid struggling with alcohol in his life. It wasn't a kid struggling with lying. These were kids in whom was no blemish. Well favored. The best of the best. The devil is not desiring you at 20 years old. Amen. He continues to desire you. That's not the first time he did it. He deals with you when there's no blemish. When there's no, when you're well favored, when you got a tender heart, and he wants to crush that. When you're 10, 11, 12 years old, that's when he's attacking you. And kids, I know it's rough. Believe me, Caleb Wilson knows it's rough. And some of y'all go through things I could not imagine. Amen. So did Timothy. So did my youth pastor. So did all these other people. You knew this. You're looking at somebody that's in there with you. I'm 21 years old. And I determined when I was 14 years old that I was going to come out on the other side. Every day, most of the time, I did not want to do it. I wanted to give up. I wanted to give in and just have some fun. Have some temporary pleasure in my life. But the thing that kept me going was you. The thing that kept me going was, well, I need to do it for the kids I'm going to preach to when I'm 21 years old.
I like
that's
that.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you don't have any ounce of courage to do it for yourself or to do it for God, do it for the young people coming up after you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Do it for them.
Sure.
They need it. They need to see some real life examples of people that came out on the other side.
Yeah.
Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And because of that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if it worked for him, it can work for me. Amen. I'm still on the first point, so y'all bear with me. I'll physically do it, I promise. Purpose in his heart. He wants your purity. Guys, determine right now. If you've already kissed a girl, go home, lay it down, crucify it on the cross, and say, God, from this point on, I am giving you my purity, and I'm going to remain as pure as I can be. Because there's a difference in being ignorant to sin and still doing it. I don't believe God holds you as responsible in this lifetime, and sin is sin regardless, but it looks better on your part when you don't know you're sinning and then you sin. But I just told you, I pointed it out to you. And now after tonight, you will willfully sin in that area if you continue to do it. You know better now. You know what the Bible says. Some of you got a yes or no decision to make, just as I did. Just as my friend Jonathan did, just as my friend Micah did, just as my friend Bryant did in that Sunday school room. Out of 30 kids, four of us needed to. And out of 30 kids, those four of you aren't preachers. Out of 30 kids, those four are four of eight that are the only ones still in church. Because we're heeded to the one. Hated to the purity. Can I tell you? I'm giving you a warning right now. Don't think Caleb's trying to take any fun away from you. Brother, I don't believe Brother Mark would let me put his daughter if I had kissed a girl before. And can I say, it sure is a blessing because I can stare Brother Mark in the face and say, Brother, I'm giving Tabitha everything I got. And so I'm giving you a warning. I'm trying to look out for you because it is so special to God, and it's going to be so special to her, and it's going to be so special to him. Amen. Brother Cliff, I use Brother Tim. He took me hiking today. Brother Tim, we go off hiking through the bog, as I would call it, bog down there, and Lord knows where in New York. Going down through there, and we're going through the trail. I didn't know where I was going. And you know, you're an expert at all these nature stuff and outdoors and stuff. Yeah. I'm being sarcastic there, brother. I can tell. But let's say, you know a little bit more about it than I do. And we're walking. And we're walking together, perfect fellowship. We're talking with each other. We're getting along great. I'm in his footsteps. He's in mine. He's leading me. And I start to fall away. I start to come farther and farther back from him. I'm still following. Just as Peter said, he followed him afar off. Matthew chapter 26. But then right after that, the end of Matthew chapter 26 is when he cusses God to his face. Well, led to his utter downfall. And I keep lagging behind. I'm still following him. I'm still loving godly principles. I'm still coming to church 3 times a week. And I'm still got my suit and tie on. And my skirt's down to my ankles. And everything looks clean. But I start lagging behind. Lagging behind. Lagging behind. Giving this up. Giving this up. Giving this up. And before you know it, I'm half a mile away from you.
Right.
And I'm lagging behind. And up comes a snake pit in the middle of the trail. And he says, Caleb, watch out for the snake pit. Am I in any position to hear that warning?
Nope.
I'm going to fall. And you know what? It's not the next 10 feet. It's not today
right. That
Satan utterly destroys you. It's not 2 weeks from now. God will let you keep sinning. And he's a gentleman. He lets you go on with your bad self and keep sinning and keep sinning, just giving you chance after chance, long-suffering as you can be, giving you chance after chance to repent and get right with him and catch up to him at the end of the trail. He just lets you do your business. And it's not that moment, but sooner or later, you're going to come up on that snake pit. You're going to fall. You're going to be bit. And you're going to die. Why? Because he was wrong. Because he went too far ahead. Because you kept lagging behind in your purity. You kept giving things up. You kept lagging behind in your closeness to him. You quit praying. You quit reading. Everything looks right. You're still following him. But you can be a disciple and not be close to him.
Sure.
Yeah. You can follow him all day long. Judas was a... You can be a disciple and be lost.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Heed to the warning, please. All I'm trying to do is give you a warning. I'm trying to show you that it is better on the other. Well, that's just not for me, Brother Caleb. It's for everybody. God didn't say it is good for Caleb Wilson not to touch a woman. Good for a man. Amen. She's not your wife. You ain't got no business kissing on her. If she's not your wife, you have no business holding her hand. No business hugging on them. Amen. I see preachers all the time, older preachers that I highly respect and I would put my trust in. They go to youth meetings and they're hugged up on the teenage girls.
Come on.
Yeah,
and I see that.
Come on.
If I can't do that, why they do?
Come on.
And I respect them. And please don't think I'm just breaking fellowship left and right. I give everybody the benefit of doubt, but I'm observant. And I look and I say, hey, better be careful there. Because that's a trap that the devil will set. I saw it in Roanoke, Alabama. Brother Donnie, we saw it in Roanoke, Alabama. Great, greatest preacher. The second greatest preacher ever come from Roanoke, Alabama. My pastor's the first. Amen. Second greatest preacher ever come through Roanoke, Alabama. I mean, man of God, and he still is a man of God today. But he got a little too close to the teenage girls. Because the devil's going to be the best of them. And don't think it's because he was out in sin and he was doing wrong. He was the best of the best. And it was because he was more effective than the rest and he was closer to God than anybody. That's why the devil picked him. That's why the devil picked Job. God picked Job. That's why the devil went at him.
Sure.
Amen. I'm just trying to warn you. Preachers, the devil will get us with something like that, something little like that. Amen. I've had 14, 15-year-old girls at youth camps and stuff like that come up to me and try to give me a hug. And I have to I have to be mean, and I have to just reach my hand out and shake their hand, but it is not worth losing my testimony over. Amen. Be careful in that area. Amen. I ain't trying to bless you out or nothing. I'm just giving y'all some warning.
Amen.
I'm 21-year-old whippersnapper. I know. Amen. I'm naive. I'm young. I ain't got it all figured out. I have not arrived. Amen. But the Lord told me to tell you something tonight. And I just wanted to give you some warnings about purity.
Amen.
Amen. I think I'm done, Brother Cliff. That was my first point.
Amen.
But I think I appreciate you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Cliff.
Amen.
Young man, thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to be cast.
Well, yes. What do you think?
I just want to quickly say this, and I'll let you say what you're going to say. I remember a wedding about 20 years ago, a friend of mine, Carl Baker, Beaufort, South Carolina. I've fallen out with him over a few things since then, but his daughter was getting ready to get married to Brother Frankie Thompson. And that day of the wedding, you know, when the bride, you take her to the, you know, to the hair shop, and she's got a bridal gown, and things are all up and all that stuff. And Beaufort's kind of a small city, and Carl Baker's kind of known as a nut in the city, and everybody wants to see his daughter and son. And she's sitting there in that chair, and all those women are standing around her and everything. One of them old biddies said to her, "What are you looking forward to the most?" You know what Kathy Baker said? "I want to feel his lips on my lips." And they said, "You've never kissed him?"
Hallelujah.
She said, "No, I've never kissed him."
Amen.
And it went like wildfire through the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People couldn't believe that.
You're right.
Couldn't believe it. Never kissed him. See, when I get up there at the altar, it'd be the first time I've kissed him.
Amen.
I mean, it went through that town. It was like little matches. I just cried with him. Probably one of the best testimonies I've ever heard. Young man, thank you.
Hey,
yes.
You don't have to go even to Beaufort, South Carolina,